Welcome back, children of the revolution. This is Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., your host, show producer, webmaster, audio engineer, researcher, video promo producer, and writer with the window open. Yes, you can hear stuff in the background on the street. For what you're not listening to, doing it here on the DIY, yes, the audio educational and anthology series, here for our fourth show for Rocktober. Woo-hoo. All right, and today we're looking at the very short in-town move. How can a group survive by proudly staying local, being possibly too talented for their own good, not being pigeonholed and rising to the occasion when others drop the ball? Not for long, at least in the case of the move. This is a tale of what it truly means to be a talented musician, at least for the majority who do not achieve stardom. Though known now as the band that Jeff Lynne of the Electric Light Orchestra, ELO, was in prior to his worldwide success, the story of the move is the stuff of every VH1 Storytellers episode ever created. People with loads of talent whose careers were sidelined by poor management and changing musical styles as they attempted to adapt but were considered far ahead of their time regardless. The Move, founded in 1965 by Roy Wood, Trevor Burton, and Ace Kefford in Birmingham, England, attempted to be a supergroup made up of the best members of other bands from the local scene there. They eventually ended up as a five-piece, adding Carl Wayne and drummer Bev Bevan, and early in their career, four of the five members traded off on lead vocals. After releasing several singles to much success, they started to run into problems. The band's manager, using any attempt to get the band noticed, made the biggest mistake of them all. Doing something so controversial, the group was successfully sued by British Prime Minister Harold Wilson for libel. Sadly, the move dropped this manager, Tony Secunda, in favor of Don Arden, the notorious manager of many English artists, who not only stole from them, he pretty much ran their career into the ground. In a strange twist of fate, Arden was also dropped in favor of another manager who did even worse, with the band crawling back to Arden for help. As if losing a major court battle and revolving bad management wasn't enough, the band shrunk from a five-piece to a quartet, then a trio, with Wood and Bevan sticking around for all lineups. Wood, a truly eccentric pop genius, was growing tired of the move, but needed to continue with this project in order to create a vision of a new band with new blood. Additionally, he knew a change was coming from psychedelic British pop to something heavier, and the change in Wood's stage persona and the band's new sound alienated many fans. Joining the band as a session player was Richard Tandy, a multi-instrumentalist, and as a full-time member, a musician named Jeff Lynne, the latter being part of a group called the Idle Race that Wood admired. The feeling was mutual, as the Idle Race's first single was also written by Wood. The band, now reduced to a trio with Bevan, Wood, and Lynne, with some guest players, decided to change their sound dramatically with enough 9-minute songs on a single LP to make even Emerson, Lake, and Palmer blush. This caused some critics to soundly gripe at the band. This was preceded by an absolutely disastrous tour, only 2 shows in 2 cities of the U.S. in 1969, the only dates they played at the colonies, and opening for the Stooges. Of course, the typical record company house associates became the norm. They switched labels in their native U.K., and their records were difficult to find in the States, simply adding to the group's problems. As the move progressed, so did Roy Wood, a man whose many excellent musical ideas could not be confined to one sound or one group. The trio, while still active as the Moved, formed ELO, which Wood also dropped out of after their first LP, which, as found out many years later, was caused by management problems again. At heart, the Wood's primary composer was a very British songwriter, particularly in the lyrics department. Where the Beatles seemed universal, Wood was akin to Monty Python, incredibly witty and sharp, but often too much for the mainstream listener to decipher in the U.S. in 3 minutes or less. As a result, the move were fondly remembered in their homeland, but rarely known anywhere else. Wood would go on to form Wizard and score one of the most loved Christmas singles in all of UK music history. Lynne and Bevan, with help from Tandy and others, would go on to superstardom in ELO. Along the way, the move had been cited by countless bands, including Kiss and Cheap Trick, as being one of their biggest influences, and helped the genre of power pop become a commercial force. This program comes by request of Chris Connor, who found a U.S. pressing of their final album at his job and wanted to know more about the move. Happy birthday next week, my friend, and hope this show shines some light on one of the best cult bands ever, and one, in my honest opinion, that deserves to be more than a footnote in music history. And we're going to be kicking it off in very loud and high fashion, because that's just the way I like to do things here. And from their third album, Looking On, where they became kind of a heavy rock, progressive kind of thing, it was a very unusual and great record. This is from 1970, When Alice Gets Back to the Farm, and we'll see you in about 30 minutes.
Colored circles making their way around.
Children of the Revolution. To what you're now listening to, the Audio Educational Anthology Program here on spadespdx.com. And still, you crazy all-around monkey bear. Yes, the crazy old man. Here for Rocktober. Woo-hoo. Our fourth show for October 2020. We're featuring the brief but amazing career of The Move from Birmingham, England. And let's recap what we've heard in the first part of our show. And if you understand why I'm laughing, I'm going to tell you in a second. I guess I misspoke because, well, you know, I shouldn't be drinking before I do these shows and during these shows. But, you know, my God, right? Evan drinks so much if you kids didn't upset me so much. Oh my God, I've become my mother. All right, kicked it all off when Alice comes back to the farm from 1970s album Looking It On. And after that, single A-side, their only number one single in the United Kingdom from 1968, Blackberry Way. Following that was their debut single from 1966, is the A-side there, Night of Fear. And following that is probably my favorite Move song, and one the band in hindsight really should have done better. It was the B-side to Wild Tiger Woman. That was Omnibus, but if you hear Roy Wood sing it, Omnibus, yes. And you understand their kind of very strange and wonderful British sense of humor there. I Can Hear the Grass Grow, another single A-side from 1967. Follow that. Wow. And the last song in the first part, the song we just heard, Do Ya, from 1971. It was a U.S. single A-side, and in the U.K. it was a single B-side to California Man, and their only charting single in the United States. And when I say only, we're talking just like the Strokes show last week, barely scraped the Hot 100, like it was in the low 90s. Alrighty, now we're going to be kicking off with the song that... I absolutely love it. It's very, very British. Wonderful song from their debut album, Move, from 1968. This is Fire Brigade, and we will see you just before the grand finale.
Fire. Small. Woke up one morning half asleep with all my blankets in a heap and yellow roses scattered all around. The time was still approaching for I couldn't stand it anymore. So Mary goes upon my eider down. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the lane. Sound. I pushed my bed into the ground in time to catch the sight that I was seeking. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Feel the power of the rain making the garden grow. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. With the trees, really to leave reality behind me. With my commitments in a mess, my sleep is gone away deep rest. In a world of fantasy, you'll find me. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Feel the power of the rain, making the garden grow. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain.
well, it's nice in its way.
Yes.
You know, some of it, not when they go naked.
You are obviously not British people. Where are you from?
I'm British.
You are British. You were born in Britain. Where is your... Where?
Stepney.
Stepney. Nice. What are your favourite British pop artists?
Well, I don't have one anyway.
Do you like reggae?
It's my music.
This smelly West Coast hippie scene is becoming quite a drag. It seems that all my freaky clothes are turning into rags. The time has come to break the strings, free to form constructive things. Tear the world right off the hinges.
Welcome back, children of the revolution, to what you're not listening to here at the Audio Educational Anthology Series on Ace of Spades, PDX.com. I'm still your all-around Monkey Bear doing it here. Commercial and sponsor-free on the DIY. That's right. So for those of you who are always wondering, because I say these things, you know, the internet promises a whole lot of things. I was born in the pre-digital age. You know, for our new fans, I really just want to hit you to something. I'm doing this with a $200 cell phone, a $300 laptop, a 30-year-old desk, which I actually sometimes sleep under, and almost 9-year-old software, right? You can get online for like less than $50. I'm just letting you know that there is nothing keeping you from what you want to do. All right, I'm proof positive of that. Alrighty, now that all that's been said and done, let's recap what we've heard in the second part of our very special show for The Move. And again, happy birthday, Chris. It's on Halloween. Yes, we have a very special show. They're all special, right? I always say that. For next week, and I'll lay that all on you in just a few minutes. But let's recap what we've heard here. Kicked it all off with The Move's Fire Brigade from 1968 from their debut album, The Move. After that, Ella James from 1971's Message from the Country. Following that, another track from that same album, The Words of Aaron. Yes. Jeff Lynne had basically stated, and this is no joke, it was all pretty wacky, that stuff. You know, it's one thing to say that, but you know, you're also contributing to it, dude. Oh my God, yeah, right. So and there's something absolutely wonderful about it. After that, from the album, again, Move, Flowers in the Rain, from 1968, and it was the picture sleeve to that single in the UK that got the band sued. Following that, from 1970's Shazam, their second Hello Susie. What is it with people names in these songs? I swear to God. And the song we just heard, an alternate version, which I believe is superior to the original version of Vote For Me from 1968. And the original version appeared on the single B-side to Cherry Blossom Clinic. This one definitely has a lot more bounce and energy to it. Alrighty. Hopefully all of you are ready for this. Some of you may have actually heard this song. And yeah, I'm going to out some of you on this. It was featured in the film Boogie Nights. Dirty Dogs, and included on their the Boogie Nights soundtrack Volume 2. It's one of their longer songs. It's from the album Looking On from 1970, well over 9 minutes, but God, what a great piece. And this song, much like several others about this period where they would have, the band would have these extended strange codas to them, just because reasons, I gather. Why not? If you have questions, feedback, comments, love letters, dedications, and requests, always welcome. Please drop me a line at DaddyBenber, one word, DanBenber@gmail.com. And don't forget, this show is by request. And next week, we're going to be featuring Fake News and Alien Heavy Metal. Yes, we will be featuring the original radio broadcast of 1938's War of the Worlds by Orson Welles in the Mercury Theater. Love to you all. This is Feel Too Good.
action. Like a big green swish. Good night. Like a big green swish.